Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyavesha Karine Hare Krishna. Please move in because others will come. This is stated based on past experience, not through divining or astrology or any other such method. Giridhari, you know the number to my room, don't you? The lock, you know? Those CDs, the English CDs, which are in the room, the Dubai ones. The ones that just brought in Damodar Bish.
Yeah.
Please bring them on. Om Gyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakara Chakshurun Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyavesha Namaham Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Kanamine Shri Varshapanani Devi Daitaya Kripadhyaya Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Pravima Madhu Yojvala Prima Vya Shri Rupa Nova Bhakti Da Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namaste Namaste Gauravani Shri Murti Hina Tarini Rupanova Viruha Vasitanta Vanana And the Guru Nisha Bhaktam Zisha Mishavatarakam Tat Prakarsham Sachak Chakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangitam Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Virodhiye Pushpavanto Chitro Shanmutamamito Vante Tatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Akyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Ajana Lambata Bhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanaita Pitaro Kamalani Taksho Vishwam haro dvijavaro yuga dharma palo vandeja dat priyakaro karuna vitaro Daitam surito pango namandana tenati matsara vasya adam bhojo Radha madana mohano Divyan vrinda aranya kautajo mandha Srimad ratna dara simhasana sto Srimad radha shila govinda nadevo Krishthali bhi sarvinama swaram Shri Andhra Sarasaram Vivamshi Bhagata Kaspita Karshan Venu Swanai Gopi Gopinata Sri Suna 18 Tako Goyaki Koryachina Pita 18 at Charan Bandho Tine Marana Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare
So far, what we've been discussing about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur no doubt reinforces with details the general impression that we all probably had of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as being uncompromising, bold, in colloquial language, extremely heavy, a heavy personality. Guru means heavy. Heavy in the sense substantial. Not merely a priest or a blessing machine. But concerned to impart the substantial knowledge that he has to others, whether they want to take it or not. That characterizes Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur as preacher of Krishna consciousness. Generally, it's expected one will approach a group, that's the general system. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, Mayam Igam Daitipsitam. He has to chase after the conditions also in Maya. Catch them. So Bhakti Saraswati Thakur, finding the world, the situation he was in for preaching, we talk about a favorable situation, some very good situation for preaching, we may say, in such and such a place. But he didn't find himself in a favorable situation, he made it favorable by his preaching against everything unfavorable, establishing what is the truth. Revolutionary preacher. Revolutionary, what was his revolution? His revolution was simply the point we were discussing yesterday. That everything is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Anything everyone does should be for the pleasure of Krishna and not for the secondary pleasure of Krishna. That I like doing it and okay, so I'll offer it to Krishna. But rather, what does Krishna want? Not what I want. So this is a revolution, a completely different perspective on reality to that of everyone in the whole material world. So what he had to speak was difficult to understand. Difficult, his language was difficult, his mode of presentation was difficult to accept, because he was preaching as if with a hammer, with a bludgeon. But also the very nature of the message. People can't comprehend what is this. The way of thinking. Viparita buddhi. Opposite. The intelligence is opposite to what it should be. Bhayam dutiya binivesita syat ishada pita syat vipaya smritihi. In the Bhagavatam it's stated that when one comes into this material world, the world of fear and illusion, due to envy of Krishna and his intelligence or his whole way of thinking becomes opposite to that which it should be, which is that I am the servant of Krishna. So his whole way of thinking is so completely different to what it should be, that if it's stated to him what it should be, that he finds it very difficult to comprehend. Just to give a mundane example, it's something like swan enemies. Just like, for instance, you'll find that in general, in Palestine, the Palestinian Muslims, they don't have a very good opinion of Jews. So if we were to go among them and say, well, actually, you know, you should love the Jews and think of them as your brothers, it's not welcome. Such words are not welcome. You could probably get killed for saying such a thing. It's just a material example. So he was a revolutionary with a very strong motive to preach Krishna consciousness, to establish Krishna consciousness in this world. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the first preacher of Krishna consciousness in the modern age, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur inherited that from him. He came to this world to preach Krishna consciousness, Now, of course, at that time, there was no movement of pure devotees. He created it. There was nothing. But there were, of course, there was a Vaishnava culture in Bengal and in India in general. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he discerned that what was going on in the name of Vaishnavism was actually a deviation from what is actual Vaishnavism. I had this experience when I was stationed in Bangladesh some more than 20 years ago, that we would go from village to village and hold programs and encourage people to chant Hare Krishna and take up this Vaishnava culture, which is their culture, they're losing it. And then people would become inspired and they'd take up Vaishnavism. But then what would that mean? They'd be rolling on the ground, feigning ecstasy and taking initiation from all these fish-eating gurus and themselves eating fish, because this is Vaishnavism. They came and they inspired us to chant Hare Krishna, and we're doing it. But so many misconceptions mixed up with it. It's very difficult to tell such people that actually this is all bogus. So to get out all the wrong ideas and put in the right ideas required that he fight. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had this vision of Krishna consciousness all over the world. It seemed difficult enough to establish it right there in Bengal. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had this mission, his mood was intense, that no living being in the universe should be devoid of Krishna consciousness. He wanted to overtake the whole of Maya and convert it all to Krishna consciousness. Alone. He had this conviction. Not in himself. He didn't think, I am a great personality, I am coming to preach, but he thought that by the grace of my gurus, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that even though I am most insignificant, I am the most wretched, but by their mercy, if I simply try to fulfill their desire, then everything is possible. He was a very intolerant person. We are, under the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are told that we should be very tolerant. Tarabarapi sahishnana. We should be more tolerant than a tree. But not to tolerate lack of Krishna consciousness. He was very intolerant of anything which was not Krishna conscious. But he was up again, I mean the whole world, I mean that's the nature of the material world, is to not be Krishna conscious. And there are so many obstacles to the preaching of Krishna conscious, ideas of caste, so many different rituals people are addicted to, demigod worship, personalism, all different kinds of misconceptions by which people think that I'm doing the right thing. Misconception means that we think that asatyare satya kali mani, to think that which is untrue to be true. So his mission was to smash all misconceptions and replace them with the proper understanding that we are the eternal servants of Krishna. So his real motive was not simply to criticize others or call others bad names, but just like Nityananda Prabhu, Prem Pracharan or Prashanda Dalan, Duri Karja Avadut Karina Brahman. Nityananda Prabhu traveled everywhere with the motive of preaching Prema Bhakti and subduing the atheists. So, finding the atheistic tendency so strong, or the pseudo maybe even more so this pseudo-religious tendency, which is another form of atheism, finding it so strong in the world, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur became famous for his opposition to everything which is not exactly Krishna conscious. His actual motive was to establish Krishna consciousness. But first of all, it was necessary to point out what is not Krishna consciousness. What is not reality? What is not the absolute truth? We should live for the sake of the truth. This was his motive. He was preaching in Bengal, where at that time Vaishnavism just seemed to be another of the, from the, we could say from the sociological point of view, Vaishnavism appeared to be just another part of Hinduism. And generally people consider it like that, and that Vaishnavism is a branch of Hinduism. The Vaishnav culture was widely spread, but it was mixed up with so many wrong ideas and so many upper sampradayas, misrepresentations of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people ask, well, how is that possible? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he preached and he gave knowledge of the absolute truth. He particularly taught this systematically to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who wrote books and instructed their disciples, who wrote more books and instructed their disciples. But nevertheless, even a short time after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared from this world, this is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there immediately came up a whole crop of pseudo-avatars, pretenders who wanted to be recognized in the same way as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking advantage of people's sentiments. And we may ask, some people ask, well, how is it, you see, Bhagavad Gita is there as it is, and how is it that it's misinterpreted, and people say, well, if God is one, why are there so many religions? So Prabhupada would reply, there aren't many religions, there's only one religion. The truth is only one. But often we see there is untruth posing as truth. That is the whole condition of the material world. There is truth with an admixture of untruth, and untruth with an admixture of truth. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is interested in preaching the vast of accepted, the genuine, unadulterated truth as it is. And as for these other varieties of non-truth, we can understand how they come in to place, just like we see that originally Krishna revealed the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, and Brahma, he revealed that to his disciples. And there were different paramparas, so many acharyas came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. But the problem lies that people say, well, you see, there's so many religions, as if to say there's something wrong with religion, there's something wrong with God, or even the very concept of God. This proves that there's no God in the eyes of the person who wants to avoid God. The fact that there are so many different religions that appear to be competing, this demonstrates that there can't actually be God. It's another of the illogical propositions of the atheists. So the fact is that what is the actual truth that is propagated by those who are knowers of the truth? But the conditioned souls are perverse. And therefore, they take it and they twist it. Krishna says, surrender to me. And we say, yes, I'm surrendered to Krishna. But we invent our own interpretation of what it means to surrender to Krishna. We don't take the standard definition. We reinterpret it all for our own sense gratification. Just like we find In the Christian religion, apparently we are told that originally the Christian religion was the adherents were vegetarians, for which they were persecuted, and adhered to the doctrine of reincarnation, which this reincarnation is now heresy in the Christian church, in the mainstream Christian churches. It interferes with their sense gratification. Vegetarianism interferes with their sense gratification. So they adjust it. There are many, you'll find such cases. I was once in a Muslim's home in Malaysia, and they were selling books. And he cordially greeted me and sat me down, and he was drinking whiskey. So I said, well, that's not allowed in this room, drinking alcohol. He said, no, there's nothing against it. See, in the Quran, it gives a special name for, you're not supposed to drink it. It's a special kind of wine that was only available in Arabia. So this is not that. It's something different. Once I was visiting the home of one fairly well-known contemporary scholar in the Vaishnava world. He was living in Vrindavan. He was initiated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But he wasn't really a disciple. You'll understand why, because he was drinking tea. And he said, how come you're drinking tea? I'm not supposed to drink tea. So what's wrong with drinking tea? So, well, our acharyas, they never allowed this. I said, well, there's nothing in Hari Bhakti Vilas against it. Of course, there was no tea at the time of Hari Bhakti Vilas. He said, when I was on the Rajamandala Parikrama with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was there, so many people were drinking tea. So what's wrong with it? So many people means there may have been so many pilgrims who are not initiated devotees, people who are coming just out of interest, something like that. Just like Prabhupada said in the Bombay guest house, you can serve tea. We don't, but Prabhupada said we could. He said, because if you don't, then people may not want to have in Bombay or Vrindavan or both or whatever. So they may have allowed it for outsiders or newcomers, not insisting that you don't take it, but it's not meant for initiated devotees. But we can make an excuse. There are so many, this time, place, and circumstance. This is wonderfully misconstrued by all classes of cheaters in the garb of devotees. It is always cited by persons who want to deviate, and at the same time, present themselves as being bona fide followers. Time, place, and circumstance. Be careful. When you hear time, place, and circumstance, your defense mechanism should go into here. Your sense of understanding of philosophy should get into top gear immediately to examine, is this really bona fide? What is the motive? According to time, place, and circumstance, one can eat meat even, Prabhupada said. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's an incident the governor of Bengal, Sir John Anderson, was invited to Mayapur. He came to Mayapur with his entourage, Britishers. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur arranged for their food so as good red-blooded Britishers, or blue-blooded, whatever they may be, they were accustomed to eat red blood three times a day. Meat eaters. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur arranged with a Calcutta hotel for meat to be served to them in Mayapur. One of his sannyasi disciples questioned him about this. He said, well, don't you think that we'll get a bad name for this? serving meat. Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur said that, you don't worry, I already considered all these things thousands of lives ago. So ours, for preaching, you can serve me, you can even eat me if necessary. The Prabhupada told Hare Krishna Maharaj, and he was sending him, go and preach in Russia. He was making so many objections. You can't get a visa, it's very dangerous, they might kill you. I don't understand the language, and whatever he said, Prabhupada gave some reply. He smashed it. And he said, well, there's nothing to eat, there's only meat. And Prabhupada said, eat meat and go and preach. If that's what's required. And even sometimes his preachers in the West, they'd be attending some function and they would be served meat and vegetables and all that. They'd be serving it, and they'd take the vegetables and the meat, and not, they wouldn't eat the meat, but they'd take the vegetables. So normally, no Vaishnava would be very strict about what we eat. But if for the sake of, what Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur said, that if that's required for the sake of preaching, you can do so. So this is all very revolutionary. Time, place and circumstance. For preaching we can do, but for sense gratification, if we say time, place and circumstance, but actually it's for our own sense gratification, then we become, not only are we transgressing the proper rules of Vaishnava behavior, but we are adopting cheating religion to do so. And this is the whole story of mundane religion. That whatever is preached in the first place is always altered by those who come afterwards. It's always altered for the sake of their sense gratification. So Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur, he stood against this. He pointed out that this, whatever is not correct according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and he pointed it out how everyone is deviating for their own sense gratification. Naturally, most people, they weren't very happy with this. He had to fight. Fight means he was pointing out again, this is wrong, this is not according. Upanuga virudha apasiddhanta dvanta hari. He was pointing out everything that is wrong. Not very popular. If we want to make friends with people, generally we, oh, you're very nice, you're very good, you do anything wrong, you don't point it out, yeah, everything's okay. It's very shallow, it's not friendship. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say that, he who praises me, he who flatters me is my enemy. Don't praise. Who is the real friend, he must point out the fault. But generally this, again, it's opposite to the materialistic conception. The materialistic conception is that my friend is someone who he overlooks my faults, and whatever I do, he always just supports me in all circumstances. But Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur, he was not interested in this shallow, so-called friendship, this pseudo-niceness. You probably all had this experience. I had this experience in my childhood before being saved by Srila Prabhupada, being accepted in his movement. Completely sick of this pseudo friendship of everyone. That everyone pretends to be nice. It's all very shallow. Their friendship, very shallow. Their conversation, their thinking, everything. No substance, no actual regard. When people talk about compassion and love, and it's just words, tolerance, just words. Everyone is acting for their own self-interest. Very shallow. So reality, the guru is heavy. Reality is heavy. Reality is serious. Reality is not some tinsel show, some veneer of niceness covering over a cheap, empty background. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur became a fighter. And we're praising him now, but it's not an easy task to fight. We praise Hanuman. He went and burned Lanka. We praise Ramanuja. He and his followers took all risk to oppose, to staunchly declare Narayana is supreme. So many will be prayed. But who is prepared to accept that? To speak the vast and accepted. It's not easy. The whole. Practically he went against the whole world. It wasn't that people were patting him on the back and saying, yeah, it was really good. Preaching meant fighting. Preaching means fighting. That was his approach. That the whole world is in a very serious situation. It's simply to smile at people. That is not for their benefit. Slap is better. Slap is better than smiling. Of course, they say, well, India, isn't India religious? India is supposed to be a very religious country and people are very pious, particularly in those days. Nowadays in India, we're lamenting the downfall of pious Indian society. So it must be more pious at that time. So yes, pious, you can say. Pious, quite fine. Please come inside. We'll make some space for you. Please move forward, everyone. Please move forward away from the door. Make some space for those who wish to come in. So this simply piety, that was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't accept that it was enough. Just to be good and nice and religious, or even to believe in God, or even to be a Vaishnava, he wanted to see, are we surrendering? Are we on the path of surrender? Is our Vaishnavism of the kind Bahujanma kare jari shabam kirtam tabutam napai krishna pavi prindam? Is our Vaishnavism of the type that we may go on for many, many lifetimes being a Vaishnava and never attain love of God? That warning is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That possibility is there. If we're not on the actual path of Vaishnavism, then we may be dressed as a Vaishnava, wearing the tilak, chanting the holy names, going through the motions of being a Vaishnava, but actually not being a Vaishnava at heart. It's relatively easy to dress as a Vaishnava, but to be a Vaishnava, that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to see. What is the motive of surrender to Krishna? So he fought, he kicked out. He said with one kick of my boot I will destroy all the bogus philosophies of the world. This was his. So many different supposed religions he stood against. Where is the surrender to Krishna? Everything that fell short of pure, unmotivated, fully surrendered devotion to Krishna, he rejected. It is not sufficient. Just like we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Eobhadra, he rejected. Ramananda Rai was telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is the purpose of life and how to attain it? Sadhya sadhana tatra. So he gave so many, Ramananda Rai gave so many proposals which were from Shastra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eobhadra. This is external. Ramananda Rai came to the point, Samadhaman parityajya maam ekam sharanam vraja Eobhadra. That's not good enough. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept. This is not good enough. Simply, I will surrender and get free from all my sin. No, there's more. That more is that. We should have body, mind and words, everything fully dedicated in the service of Krishna. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, this is acceptable. Anything less than this is not acceptable. Even the motive to surrender to Krishna for my own benefit, even that, he wanted to give a higher concept, a better concept. Yenatma supraseedati, that will fully satisfy the soul. Why should we be satisfied? Why should, if we want our own self-interest, if we actually want our own self-interest, then why should we settle for anything less than the best? And the best self-interest is to become fully surrendered to Krishna with no personal motive. This was what this meant, so it's what Paul was preaching. This was, in his words, to destroy all misconceptions at all levels, in all cultures of human society, and implement full-fledged theism everywhere. So this is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam begins with dharma projita kaitava atra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vasuram atra vastu shivadam tapatayam vumanam. So what does this mean? Dharma projita kaitava. This means completely rejecting all so-called religions which are cheating, materially motivated. Dharma projita kaitava atra. Herein. Atra, herein. Paramo nirmatsaranam satam. This can actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam, can actually be appreciated by persons who are freed of that cheating propensity, who are free from envy, who do not envy Krishna. All deviations, or even slight other representations of Krishna consciousness, any deviation from the principle of total surrender to Krishna is a manifestation of envy of Krishna. Paramaniyam atsarama siddham vidyam vastavam atrava. This atravastu, this topic, this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the substance of the Vedic knowledge. This is the Vedic knowledge. Atravastu, Shivadam, it is all auspicious. Tapa trayam mulanam, it uproots from the very core the threefold miseries of material existence. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was the personification of rejecting materially motivated religion, among other things. He denounced as hypocritical all varieties of religion practiced without the intention of surrender to Krishna. Religion without the intention, without sharanagati, without being on the path of full surrender to Krishna, that is simply hypocritical. That is not religion. It is a show of religion. It is not real religion. Real religion means we must surrender to Krishna. So, in the name of religion, if one simply wants to improve the moral with condition, sometimes atheists preach that, Well, actually, religion is very useful in human society because it helps to make people moral. So that's very good. This is nonsense. This is envy of Krishna. Or to improve the social or intellectual life. To promote, yes, it's very good that we can be religious and then we'll be very peaceful and then we can live very happily in this world. When there's a war, after some time people, they become very religious and they pray, oh God, let there be peace. God, we really believe in you and we're really praying, let there be peace. But you rascals, you made the war with all your sinful activities. This is your karmic reaction. And now you're praying to God to take it away so that you can go on with your sense gratification unimpeded. So this kind of praying to God, that God, let there be peace on earth, it is actually an insult to Him. It is cheating. It's just like someone is brought to the court and he's accused of mass murder, robbery, and so many things. And he says to the judge, well, you know, you should be very liberal and very kind and very compassionate and let me go. In fact, you should award me a high salary pension and make everything nice for me. You see, you're telling me I'm bad, but if you are good, then you don't punish me. You simply give me all facilities, undeservedly. Who will accept such a proposition? Krishna says that Mami kam sharanam raja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishe. I will deliver you from all sin if you surrender to me. So yes, there is possibility of mercy. But mercy means that there is some pre-qualification for that also. If we ask for mercy, but we're not prepared to qualify ourselves for that, then that's another form of cheating, and it's not, that will not be mercy. To let the murderer free in the name of mercy, that is not mercy, because he'll commit more murders. He's not free of the propensity to murder. So he'll commit more murders, and then he'll have to suffer more in future life. So it's not mercy. He may construe it as mercy, but it's not mercy. Mercy to the murderer is not what he thinks it is, which is to let him go and let him go on unrestrictedly sinning. But mercy for the murderer is to kill him. That is Manu's prescription. Because then, by that, he will be freed from the karma of murder. Otherwise, he'll have to suffer. So this kind of thing, we say that people, oh, Hare Krishna movement is, they're promoting capital punishment. Very bad. But we have to follow Shastra. What is the proper understanding? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was not only following Shastra, he was the personification of Shastra, of Shastric understanding. See, in our situation, we follow Shastra. We follow Guru Sangha and Shastra. But his following of Shastra is different to our following of Shastra, because his following of Shastra is that he is speaking from the platform of the same platform as Krishna. That Krishna gives Shastra for our guidance, and Krishna understands why all these rules are there. The murderer should be killed. Why? Is Krishna so cruel? We think it's cruel, we don't know. Svakarma phala bhut puman. Everyone has to get their karmic reaction. So, it's kindness to the murderer to punish him with capital punishment so that he won't have to suffer more at the hands of Yamaraj. And simultaneously, human society is protected from it. And simultaneously, a message goes to others who might be considering engaging in dacoity and murder and so many things. You can do, but if you get caught, then you're going to have the same fate. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was against even the even that which seemed to be people to be very good, he pointed out that even mundane welfare work, this is a manifestation of envy of Krishna that I was discussing yesterday. So you can imagine that he wasn't very popular among. It is not a formula for popularity, but still many people came to him. Many people came because they appreciated that this is reality. He spoke to the soul. He didn't speak to the false ego. He spoke to the soul. This idea, well, we should be nice to others, and you know, just smile at them. And this is all mollycoddling. Making people feel comfortable in Maya. I'm feeling comfortable in this Maya, and don't disturb me. Just smile. How are you? Very nice, thank you. And how are you? By the time you say very nice, you're already 20 meters down the road. How are you? They're already gone. No one cares. But we had to make a show of caring. Everyone's making a show of caring for others and compassion, like politicians. They make a show, they go, especially before elections, they go around and pat babies on the head, and kiss the babies on the head, and all this kind of thing. Because that makes people think they're very nice people. And then they get the votes. That's the idea. They're motivated, everything they do is motivated. They don't care about that. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he stood against all this cheating religion. He never represented himself as part of that cheating Vaishnavism. He never said, I'm a Hindu. He stood above and apart from all kinds of mundane religions. He wasn't... Often people misunderstood, well, he's a Vaishnav guru, so they're just like all the other Vaishnavas, but all the other Vaishnavas means the fish eating blessing machines. The fish eating gurus who go around and bless people and take donations from them. Family business means that in traditional Indian society, according to your caste, your future is chalked out. If your father's a potter, you become a potter. If your father's the family priest, you become a family priest. If your father's a government minister, then you become a government minister, by caste. If your father's a Baba, you become a Baba. He trains you. So if your father's a guru, you become a guru. And his disciples, then their children become your disciples when your father passes away. So it's family profession. But he was not that kind of guru. He was very much against this. That it's not... The role of a guru is not a post. It's not that someone... They're recognized as a guru. They have guru stamped on their head. And therefore, whatever they say is divine. And this is back to front. Sometimes in ISKCON we have this misconception also. Someone is a guru... Therefore, everything he says is bona fide. It's round the other way. Because everything he says is bona fide, therefore he's a guru. And if he doesn't speak what is bona fide, he's not a guru. He may have a stamp, guru. But then he's a cheater, that's all. Everything must be understood by guru, sadhu and shastra. Simply rubber stamp, guru. Okay, very good. Prabhupada disciple, very good. Prabhupada disciple? Disciple, just like Prabhupada asked once, who is my disciple? Disciple means follow. Who is following? What is the discipline? But because we are lazy, we don't like to go very deeply into understanding these points. And because we want to feel comfortable, we don't want to have our conceptions disturbed, therefore we prefer to accept some kind of institutionalized. We take the institutionalized representation of religion to be reality without going deeply into what is the matter. So that is very dangerous. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself wrote that the greatest enemy of theism in the world are the organized institutions which are meant for propagating religion. The churches and the such institutions, they're the greatest enemies of theism. He himself started an organization. But this institutional consciousness, thinking that religion is to be defined by the institution, the institutional need is the absolute truth, then that is very dangerous. And that also tends to take away our power of discriminate, or our need to exercise intelligent discrimination based on what is heard from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We just accept. Oh, okay, sure. This is going on, therefore it must be bona fide. You should see what is bona fide according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Otherwise it's the same thing, just like in Christianity, Christ taught one thing and the Christians teach something else. Churchianity. It's not Christianity. It's something else, which was dreamed up afterwards. Now, we find that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many misrepresentations in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we shouldn't think that after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or after Prabhupada, it won't happen. It can't happen to us. Of course it must happen. History shows that after every great teacher, every great teacher attracts so many followers by his spiritual power. But then the tendency is for people to just adjust a little bit according to time, place and circumstance. And then the adjustment from the principle becomes the principle. And then the principle is lost. And what was at first said is, well, just an adjustment according to time, place and circumstance. That becomes the accepted norm. And then what is that? Evam parampara praptam evam rajasya yogiduhu sakala neyamata yoga nashta parampara. Then in course of time, the parampara becomes lost. And in Kali Yuga, the tendency is for it to get lost very quickly. The cheating propensity is very strong. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was establishing these principles. What are the principles of genuine religion? We have to understand. We shouldn't think that I will just join ISKCON and then that's it. I'm perfect just by becoming a member. I'm initiated. That's it. I'm perfect. All I have to do is just mumble a few Hare Krishnas here and there and stuff my belly with as much prasadam as I can. And that's it. Then I'll go back to Godhead and have Krishna praying. Praying! It's a popular word these days. More popular than surrender. Back to front. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this Prakrita Rasa Shata Dushini, he wrote this 100 refutations of materialistic so-called rasa. So again and again, and he was emphasizing in different ways. Rati Agi Shraddha Pache Rupa Noga Balena. The Rupa Goswami has written Ado Shraddha Tatasotu Sangha Ata Vajana Kriya Tato Nata Nivritta Syat Tato Ruchis. So he gave the whole progression from Shraddha to praying. So if we say Rati Agi, Rati is the that's synonymous with Ruchan. So that is the stage at which we're actually appreciating Krishna consciousness. So if we think, and Shraddha is the original stage. So if we think we'll have ecstasy first, and then all the other things will come later. It doesn't work like that. First I'll have Krishna praying, and then afterwards I'll think about following the regulated principles. It doesn't work like that. But we're cheated. Therefore, we like, someone will talk, praying, oh, that was really wonderful, ah, that was really great, I really enjoyed that. And then we're talking with a, oh, I have to rush home, there's a football match on TV. These things are going on. It's not simply a joke. This kind of thing is going on. We like to hear praying, but we don't like to hear about discipline or strictly following sadhana, surrender. No such things we like to hear. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that we are not. He distinguished himself from what are normally considered religious preachers. He wrote that we do not subscribe to the way in which Hindus, Mohammedans, Christians, etc. have been endeavoring to set forth their respective contentious views. Neither has the obsolete quarrel between the Shaktas and the Vaishnavas any bearing on the subject matter of our preaching. Our words will never die as long as time endures. Nay, even after time itself has ceased to function. The fact is that once a person becomes really conversant with the message of Sri Chaitanya Dev about the function of spiritual love, all little narrownesses are eliminated once for all. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a living representative of the Bhagavatam. He was a personification of Dharma Projita Kaitava, complete rejection of cheating in the name of religion. So he never, there was never any thought in his mind of altering his teachings for the sake of pleasing the public. He considered that his responsibility as a sadhu was to slash others' misconceptions. That this is preacher. Of course, one can be a sadhu by sitting and chanting Hare Krishna and living a very peaceful life. That is maybe considered saintly, but that's not comparable to those who go into the world and fight for Krishna. And even those who preach, many prefer to avoid conflict and not treading on others' toes or upsetting their false egos. It seems to be antithetical. They get upset, and then if they get upset, then they don't like it. So it doesn't seem to be the best policy. The best policy seems to be, well, we should just make friends with people and be nice with them. So we're not against being nice to people, but if what is generally understood as friendship and being nice on the material, on the mundane platform, is that, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, tum chup hum chup. You don't say anything, I won't say anything. You be quiet, I'll be quiet. I won't point out your faults, you don't point out my faults. The people, they don't like you. If you come at someone and say, this is wrong, so what about you? And what are you going to say? So, Acharya, what is that? Apane Acharya Prabhu Jivere Shikai. The first one has to act. One has to act as a sadhu. Then he can preach. If you yourself are smoking and you want to tell others not to smoke, it may not be very effective. One has to set the example. So people, it's very difficult for people to accept Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur because their whole idea of a sadhu was someone who is very tolerant and whatever you do wrong. Yes, we love you for what you are. This is another bogus idea which is very popular. That whatever you just accept people as they are. But Bhaktisiddhanta, have you heard this? You just accept people for what they are. Whatever you're like, we accept you. But that is not the job of a preacher. That we do not accept you whatever you're like. We have to change you to what we like, which means what Krishna likes. That not that whatever you are, we love you. That we love you, but not as you are at the moment. You have to change. So this is quite you shouldn't be judgmental. Yes, we should be judgmental. We should judge, otherwise how will we preach? A preacher that he sees. Ishvare tadadhine ishu, balishishu vishatshu cha, prema maitri ribopeksha, yakaroti samadhyama. Preacher, madhyamadhikari platform. He sees God as the object of his love. He sees the devotees as the object of his friendship. He sees the innocent public as the object of his mercy. And the rascals, he avoids them, the out and out demons. Avoidance means even those who have the power may challenge them also. They're the ones who are spoiling the innocent. So people expected that sadhus that be very peaceful and not disturb anyone and be consider everyone's opinion. Yes, I respect your opinion. No, we don't respect your opinion. Why should we respect you? We respect Krishna's opinion. Why should we respect your opinion? Your opinion is envious. If we respect your respecting an opinion which is not in line with Krishna is a manifestation of envy of Krishna. This respecting everyone's opinion seems to the materialist to be very good. But actually it's just a mutual pact that they have made to forget Krishna. If we respect everyone's opinion. And if you want to say, if you want to be Krishna conscious, yes, we also respect that as another opinion. But not this they don't like to accept anything absolute. No, they should. Don't impose on me. You do. You want to be, you want to chant Hare Krishna, you do. Don't impose on me. That is considered very wrong. Of course, their whole society, they impose on us educational system. You must go to school. By law, you must go to school. And they impose on you Darwin's theory. They impose on you advertisements of every street corner. Buy this, buy that, buy everything else. They're imposing on you in so many ways. They're imposing on you their idea that you must tolerate, you must accept every opinion. That is their imposition. If they say, we will accept every opinion, but if you say, well, my opinion is that we reject every other opinion, then we cannot accept this opinion. So they're hypocrites. Hypocrites. This so-called tolerance is simply hypocrisy. It is a pact between the thieves that we will be honest. After we have looted, we shall honestly and fairly divide the booty between ourselves. It is the hypocrisy. The worldly moralism is simply hypocrisy. It's all simply a big, elaborate arrangement to avoid Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as a genuine sadhu, he pointed this out. Most people couldn't understand it. Why is this? Why so strong? But he explained why is he speaking the truth so straightforwardly? He wrote, "Do not try to discover the nature of truth by the exercise of your imagination." What we consider to be real or true. If we don't know what it is, then if we don't know what is the absolute truth, then whatever we conceive of as reality is simply an imagination. Therefore, sometimes it's said that this whole material world is like a dream. It's a daydream. We're just imagining that this is reality. Our forgetfulness of Krishna is reality. So he wrote, "Do not endeavor to attain the truth through experience of this world." So clear. Just this one sentence can explode all the philosophies of the world. All the so-called religions. Do not try to attain the truth through experience of this world. The truth, rather, is beyond this world. The truth descends by His own mercy. We can accept that coming down, but by the arohana panta, we want
to climb up by my own endeavor, using my own intelligence, my own brain, my own ideas, and try to understand the absolute truth. But rather we have to accept the truth coming down into this world by His own mercy. We have to be open to accept that mercy. Accept that mercy by the humility of understanding or accepting that my own endeavors are limited. We cannot reach to the absolute truth. Do not manufacture truth in order to satisfy your erring inclinations. How clear. Our inclinations, our materialistic inclinations. Do not manufacture truth. Do not try to manufacture philosophy or truth according to our own inclinations. We'll find that all the philosophies in the world, except that of Bhaktisiddhanta, are all elaborate arrangements to justify sense gratification. Even those that are apparently very moral and very religious, but if the motive is not unmotivated surrender to Krishna, then every philosophy is cheating. It's an arrangement to make us look good while we're rascals, to make us look nice in the eyes of others. We like to think, I am good. Therefore we justify what we do. Even Hitler wrote a book, Mein Kampf, which justifying his hatred of Jews and his whole policy. And actually, there's a little bit of a deviation here from Bhaktisiddhanta's teachings, but it's also Bhaktisiddhanta in another expression of it. It's not that Bhaktisiddhanta is static. Bhaktisiddhanta is applicable to all considerations of this. We can analyze everything in this material world through the light of Bhaktisiddhanta. So actually, if we accept Darwin's theory, the struggle for existence and survival of the fittest, then we should become fascist like Hitler. Because his philosophy is basically might makes right. He said, we are Germans and we're the best, and we don't like Jews, and all this, we need more land all around us, so we'll take it over. We have the strength, we'll do it. We're the best. So this is actually the natural outcome of a Darwinistic outlook on life. So to dilute or deflect us from such theories, the humanitarianism has become very strong. Humanism. The philosophy, it's actually atheistic, but they say that everyone should act for the betterment of the human race. We should act morally so everyone can live very peacefully and happily in this world. It's atheistic humanism, which promotes more. Of course, they don't know what morals are, so they say that, well, it is morally correct that a woman, if she wants, she can have an abortion because it's her body. Because it's morality which is divorced from the absolute truth must come to such conclusion. And therefore I say that Hitler is better than Bush. Because Hitler, at least he was honest. He said, you know, we're bastards and we're going to live like that. We're stronger than you. But Bush, in the name of democracy, humanitarianism, morals, peace, liberalism, truth, he does the same thing. So that's one way we can look at world affairs. Of course, there are. I'm not saying that Hitler's good, but it's just he's he more strongly adheres to his philosophy. So, getting back to the words of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, do not hastily accept anything for the reason that it satisfies such inclinations. Do not regard as truth anything that has the support of a majority of people like yourself. In other words, because many people say, well, this is correct, then we shouldn't automatically think that it's correct. Because the whole current of human society says, for instance, in the modern age, it's considered, at least in the Western world, it's considered that at the present time, it's widely considered that the whole history of the human race is one of suppression of women, and now we have to right that by giving equal rights in all respects to women. So this is different to all the traditional cultures of the world, and it seems to be right to someone who is not in touch with reality according to Shastra. So it may seem that, and even among our devotees, they say, well, you can't preach in the Western world unless you make some adjustment to this, because it's such a strong philosophy, therefore we have to institute it within this one also. Although Srila Prabhupada mentions this as being demoniac within his Bhagavad Gita as it is purport. So you may think that, everyone says. But because everyone says doesn't mean it's right. If one person speaks the truth, that is truth. And if the whole world speaks untruth, it's still untruth. If 100 million people say that 2 + 2 = 5, and one person says 2 + 2 = 4, the one person will be right, and the 100 million people will be wrong. That which is truth is not subject to opinion. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continued, similarly, do not accept as untruth anything that is rejected by the overwhelming majority. We should try to understand what is truth, not simply according to what is socially acceptable. And definitely, rather we should consider that in this world, what is the truth is most probably going to be socially unacceptable. Because the whole world is spinning on the basis of rejecting Krishna, on the basis of untruth. So we should expect that if we are to adhere to the truth, that we're going to have to follow in the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta and be unpopular and fight against the world. It's very easy to compromise. It's very easy to become a religious institution, a bona fide religion. It's the worst thing that probably that could ever happen to ISKCON, is that it becomes recognized as a bona fide religion by the people who don't know what a bona fide religion is, such as the governments of the world. If they say, yes, we accept as a bona fide religion, we may be in trouble. Because that means that they say, yes, we accept that, yes, we also accept you're just as good as the Catholics and the Protestants and, oh, really? Well, then we're really in trouble. Bona fide religion, certified by Professor Beef Eater and Wine Drinker. And then you have to dance according to their tune to maintain your status as a bona fide religion. So rather they should come to us for the first certificate, bona fide religion, and we won't give it. Unless they act according to Bhaktisiddhanta. According to the scriptures, there is to be found hardly one in a crore of human beings who really worships the truth, that which is proclaimed by the united voices of all the people of the world as truth, may turn out to be false. Therefore, cease to confront the truth in a challenging mood. The truth is not brought into existence by such arrogance. One has to approach the truth in the spirit of absolute submission. it is necessary to listen to truth. Truth is self-revealing, and it is only when it is pleased to reveal itself that the real nature of the truth can be known to us and not otherwise. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. People used to question what kind of a sadhu he's so nasty. What is this? He's so aggressive. But Saraswati Thakur explained that a sadhu must speak strongly. If one does not speak strongly, he's not a sadhu. He wrote that the only duty of sadhus, what is their only duty? To cut away all the accumulated wicked propensities of every individual. This alone is the causeless natural desire of all sadhus. Worldly persons possess a double nature. This is great psychology. They have all these psychology books. In a few words, he can just expose what is the whole psychology of every conditioned soul. Worldly persons possess a double nature. They express one kind of sentiment, but internally cherish a different purpose. They say one, they show one thing outside, but inside is different. Moreover, they want to advertise this duplicity as a mark of liberalism or love of harmony. Those who are unwilling to show any duplicity, who wish to be frank and straightforward, or in other words, to exercise unambiguously the function of the soul, such really sincere persons are called sectarian and orthodox by those who practice duplicity. Same thing is going on nowadays. That those who profess to be liberal, if anyone speaks against their cheating in the name of liberalism, then they're immediately put into the box by the liberals as being sectarian, dogmatic, and so on. What else? Blockheaded. Well, that's... Yeah, we also say that, blockheaded. So, They're accused of being sectarian. That means just sectarian gives the idea that they're persons who proclaim to be liberal. They say that, well, we love everyone and we accept everyone, and you're sectarian. That means you only think you are right. It's only your. But persons who speak the truth, they are accused of sectarianism by those who want to cover the truth and say everything's okay. But if we say that everything is okay, then immediately that is against the principle of the truth. Because the truth is as it is. The truth is not everything. Just like 2 plus 2 equals 4, it doesn't equal 5, it doesn't equal 6. There are unlimited numbers. But what 2 plus 2 equals is only 4. It's not 4.000001. That is wrong. Only 4. We may say, well, that's sectarian, you know. What if someone wants to think 2 plus 2 equals 5? We should also accept. What if someone wants to accept 2 plus 2 equals 3? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with it is wrong. Damn wrong. It's intrinsically wrong. Well, it's my opinion, you know, why should we disturb it? You're a damn fool. And you're misleading others. So, this should be pointed out. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues. We will cultivate the association only of those who are straightforward. We will not keep company with any person who is not so. We must by all means avoid bad company. We are advised to keep at a distance of 100 cubits from animals of the horned species. We should observe the same caution in regard to all insincere persons. He continues, there is no doubt that the words of the sadhu possess the power to destroy the evil propensities of one's mind. The sadhus in this way benefit everyone who associates with them. There are many things which we do not disclose to the sadhu. The real sadhu makes us speak out what we keep concealed in our hearts. He then applies the knife. The very word sadhu has no meaning other than this. In other words, people are saying sadhu is someone who holds a flower and smiles. No, there's not a sadhu. One who holds a knife. The sadhu, you know this, they have the sacrificial, they kill the animal with the, by the chopping in the sacrifice. So the sadhu stands in front of the block with the uplifted sacrificial knife in his hand. The sensuous desires of men are like goats. The sadhu stands there to kill those desires by the merciful stroke of the keen edge of the sacrificial knife in the form of unpleasant language. If the sadhu turns into my flatterer, then he does me harm. He becomes my enemy. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is saying here that, first of all, the sadhu is not someone who simply smiles at you. Rather, the only meaning of the sadhu is one who holds a knife in the form of unpleasant words to cut our wrong propensities. And he said that one who flatters us, the one who we think is a sadhu, is simply smiling at us. He is our enemy, because if he flatters us, then we are led to the road that brings enjoyment, but no real well-being. Someone wrote a letter to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was some article, mostly the articles in the magazines, they were the name was not given, many of them, who wrote them. So it was understood that if it was not that the name wasn't given, it was either by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur or it was based on his teachings. And he would anyway review all of them before they were published. So we can say with certainty that anything published during his time, even if it's not signed by him, it's approved by him. So someone had written a letter from the context of the reply. We don't have the letter which was sent to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but from the reply we can deduce that the person who had written the letter he wasn't very happy with the article because of the harshness of its tone. And also he said, the person who wrote the letter guessed that it had been written by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur replied that you have guessed correctly that the person who wrote that unpleasant article was the same as the one who is now replying to your letter. He said that you yourself, your own style of writing is very sweet and very polite. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote that if you also give up this sweet and polite style and become harsh like me, then you can actually do good to others. Don't flatter. He wrote, the aggressive pronouncement of the concrete truth is the crying necessity of the moment for silencing the aggressive propaganda of specific untruths that is being carried on all over the world. People might say, well, why are you so strong? Why are you so aggressive? But the whole society is very aggressively sending us to hell. They may say that, you know, well, be mild, and because there's constant, 24 hours a day, TV, educational system, the whole social system, everything is just forget Krishna, forget Krishna, forget Krishna, forget Krishna. Enjoy your senses, enjoy your senses, enjoy your senses. Go to hell, go to hell, go to hell. So it's aggressive. They say, don't be proselytarian. Don't try to, you know, hustle people into taking up what you're doing. They say, don't be an aggressive preacher. But they have taken a complete license to, they have a monopoly on feeding us with bulldom. And we won't say the normal word. Nonsense. They have a monopoly on feeding us. Anyway, actually those terms are very good because it brings it home. But we're not supposed to say those things. So they have a monopoly on feeding us, filling our heads with all kinds of garbage which screws us up. And then they say, you know, no one should be aggressive. They've got a monopoly and they're totally controlling the whole way, the whole culture and the way people think and the way they're brainwashed. And then don't. You can have your opinion, but don't be aggressive. Don't proselytize. Another form of rasa. So Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur was saying that we need to aggressively make propaganda against all the untruths that are being aggressively propagated all over the world. He said, if I were to desist from lecturing about the Absolute Truth due to fear that some listeners may be displeased, I would be deviating from the path of Vedic truth and accepting the path of untruth. I would become inimical to the Vedas, an atheist, and would no longer possess faith in Bhagavan, the very embodiment of truth. So he's saying that if we don't speak the truth as it is, if we think that, well, I shouldn't speak the truth because people will get upset, if we adopt this policy, we become atheists. We become inimical to the Absolute Truth. Consider, that goes for all of us too. Sri Sri Guru Gauranga will not be pleased unless we fearlessly speak the truth. There we are. Now we've invited Panchatattva. So how shall we please them? We shall offer garlands, we shall perform kirtan. That in itself, that will not be very pleasing. We have to preach the truth. Otherwise, simply offering, but what's the need to open a temple and offer flowers? There are already so many temples like that. We can do it at home also. There's no need to make a big arrangement for a big temple. Temple is only to attract people to hear the message of the truth. Otherwise, it just becomes another arrangement for eating and sleeping, pious eating and sleeping. People come, and pious people, we ask them for a donation, and they think, all right, very good. And we live very happily ever after. But the purpose for which our acharyas have come is not to make a transcendental arrangement for eating and sleeping. There's already enough arrangement. In the name of the Absolute Truth, if we simply live on the platform of mundane sense gratification, then far from serving the Absolute Truth, far from serving God eternally, we will be envious of them. And that happens, and we desire to enjoy the facilities which are only meant for their service. Bhaktisthana Saraswati Thakur, if I am afraid that telling the truth objectively may be unpleasant, and so do not speak the truth, then I have given up each path of revealed truth and accepted one that is not bona fide. That would make me an atheist and a cheater. His mode of delivery was aimed at preciseness rather than politeness, without employing euphemisms or any other device that might have softened his message to make it more palatable and digestible for his hearers. He explained why. He wrote that a chanter of Hari Kirtan is necessarily the uncompromising enemy of worldliness and hypocrisy, As a chanter of the Kirtan of Hari, it is his constant function to dispel all misconceptions by the preaching of the truth in the most unambiguous form, without any respect of place or time. Person, place or time. So we sometimes say time, place and circumstance, we have to adjust our preaching. But then what happens then? The adjustment becomes the principle, as I was saying before. If we don't speak the truth, if we adjust and say that, well, you know, actually it's all right that that you don't have to follow four regulated principles, it's all right, you only have to follow three. You choose which one you don't want to follow. So you may say, well, you see, that encourages people. But if we set the standard lower, then people will never come higher than that. How are they going to come higher? If we are supposed to be representatives of the absolute truth, give people a standard that is lower, they will never come above that, because they will think, this is it, this is the standard. So we shouldn't, in dealing with individuals, we may deal with the, we don't deal in a stereotype manner. But as far as speaking the message of Godhead, Bhaktisthana Sarasvati, he's saying that it should be preached in the most unambiguous form. That's why you say, we don't. So just like sometimes we like to go and say, well, God and God, and people say God, and we like to use the word God, we don't like to say Krishna. But then God means, well, what are we talking about? It means that we are accommodating their misconception of what is God. Often people say, they ask, doesn't God support all religions? Then immediately we have to say, what do you mean by God? They don't, practically even to discuss with people about God, they don't know. Their conception is a misconception, which they have made God according to them what they want Him to be. But rather, we should be what God wants us to be. His nature does not change because we want Him to be our order supplier for sense gratification. That form of preaching is to be adopted which is least likely to be misunderstood. It is the bounden duty of the preacher to oppose clearly and frankly any person who tries to deceive and harm himself and other people by misrepresenting the truth due to malice or bona fide misunderstanding. This will be possible if the chanter of Kirtan is always prepared to submit to be trodden by thoughtless people, if any discomfort to himself will enable him to do good to his persecutors by chanting the truth in the most unambiguous manner. So in other words, Bhaktisthana Sarasvati Thakur can say that if we want to speak the truth, we can expect to be kicked in the head by persons who don't like it. We can expect to be persecuted. But it is our duty to go on speaking the truth. We must be prepared for that. If the preacher is unwilling or afraid of considerations of self-respect, people call me bad names, or personal discomfort, you see, if you go along with the system, if you just play the game, then people like you, and they give you donations, and they treat you nicely, and they say, you're very great, you're very great sadhu. But if you speak the truth that you're all rascals, then they may not like to, then they may not respect you. They'll, instead of calling you a great sadhu, they'll say that, well, he's just a fanatic, and they won't like to invite you or give you donations. So you may think, well, it's better to, you know, just, we'll just speak about Krishna, but we won't touch all these things. The namam duskritino mudha. We'll talk about praying. Surrender, you know, we'll just presume that we'll just go along with everyone's self-accepted delusion that we're already surrendered. We like to talk about prema and leelas and so many things. We're talking on the platform of just everyone is presuming that yes, I'm a devotee, and yes, I'm on the platform of relishing Leela. So we'll only talk Leela and nice stories and talk about Krishna praying and no talk about surrender. And everyone likes it and they call me a great devotee and they become my disciples and I get lots of donations and people respect me and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. No. First, let's discuss these points. Surrender. You won't be popping. People will say that you're arrogant. You are. Who are you? Who are you to speak like that? You have to be ready. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, unless we are prepared to speak the absolute truth, this kirtan, under all circumstances, one is unfit to be a preacher of the absolute truth. Humility. People may say, well, that's not very humble. You're always blasting others. He writes that humility implies perfect submission to the truth and no sympathy for untruth. A person who entertains any partiality for untruth is unfit to chant the kirtan of Hari. Any clinging to untruth is opposed to the principle of humility born of absolute submission to the truth. Those who serve the truth at all time by means of all their faculties and have no hankering for the trivialities of this world are always necessarily free from malice born of competing worldliness and are therefore fit to admonish those who are actively engaged in harming themselves and others by the method of opposing or misrepresenting the truth in order to attain rewards of such policy in the shape of a perpetuation of the state of misery and ignorance. You probably have to read that to catch it. It's something that's typical of his long sentences, which there's a lot in there. Okay, now for the nectar. You can relax. I'll tell a story. Just to finish it off. Just so that you're not completely finished off. Alright, this anecdote is an anecdote of actually two of the most prominent disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur. Not how his first sannyas disciple, Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, on the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, went to preach in East Bengal, which is now Bangladesh, preaching in Dhaka. So at that time that was part of British India. And as now, the Hindus there were very much, their culture is that of Gauriya Vaishnavism, but Sahajirism. And so many cheating gurus and the whole show, really a show. So, strong tendency to perform Nam Kirtan, to worship Gaunitai, and actually more Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, but all this cheating Sahajiyas and Kula gurus, and the whole thing, just all misconceptions about what Gauriya Vaishnavism is. So, actually, let me find that. Better way to find it. So he was preaching in Dhaka. He went when Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj first went to Dhaka, the caste Goswamis, they ordered, after a few days of their preaching, the caste Goswamis who controlled the whole Hindu society there, they ordered that no one should give them any alms, no one should even give them water to drink. So in this way they intended to, they tried to drive them out of the city. It was a real threat because they were showing that actually what is real Vaishnavism. So anyway, they vowed that if necessary, we'll just drink the river water, and some of them we won't stop preaching. There's no place to stay, nothing. But they on the order of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they stayed. They said that, Doesn't matter, go on preaching. You have no place to stay, no food. You just drink the water from the river and you go on preaching. So it's very tough. It's not easy. If we want an easy life in the name of preaching, then we can't preach. So anyway, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was invited one young man from a prominent one of the most prominent families in Dhaka. He was attracted by the preaching of Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj. He'd go every day to listen to him. He was attracted. He found there's something substantial here. But at the same time, he wanted to know, is this really that he's saying that everything we've known, our gurus and everything we've followed up to now, they're just rejecting and saying it's all bogus. And he found this, like most other people at the time, he found it very difficult to accept that these people are gurus, they're Vaishnavas, they're sadhus, they wear tilak, they do kirtan, and you're just saying they're all bogus. So how can we accept this? So anyway, this one man, Subodh, he arranged a meeting with all the prominent people of the city, and all, including many famous or prominent gurus. Guru means the professional guru. So Bhakti Pratik Tirtha Maharaj spoke to them, and he spoke general principles of Krishna Bhakti, and they all applauded, and they said, this is very wonderful and very nice. And they invited him to come back next week and speak again. So then Tirtha Maharaj, he told Subodh that last time I was just speaking general principles, next time I'm going to speak the unadulterated truth, and we'll see how much they like it. So, the next time he spoke against demigod worship, accepting demigods and Vishnu as supreme, demigods and Vishnu as equal, that against this cheating guru business, guru giri, and gradually the hall emptied. And by the time he finished his lecture, there were two people left, himself and Subodh. He lost the whole group, but he gained one soul who was to be one of the most prominent. These articles, I'm getting this all from the Gaudiya magazine. He was the one who wrote it up. All these things. So he was the only one who stayed. So he lost everyone, but he gained one soul. And actually those others were never with him anyway. We may say, well, I have so many followers. But who is actually a follower? So we find this, just like popular gurus, they have thousands and thousands of disciples. They go in a meeting and say, anyone who wants initiation, then you can get it. Everyone should have a guru. If you don't have a guru, well, I'm here. So, what mantra? Those who want Vishnu mantra, those who want Ganesh mantra, those who want Devi mantra, you just get in different groups. We'll give you a different mantra according to what you want, and you'll be my disciple. So some people say that, well, Sai Baba has so many followers, Ashram has so many followers. They don't have any followers, because there's nothing to follow, first of all. And if these so-called gurus say anything which is against their sense gratification, then immediately they go away, which means they're not a follower. So, Subodh, he was confused. He thought to himself, he later wrote it, don't just follow the mass of people. Just consider, today, what has been said by Tirtha Maharaj, either he's mad, or he is speaking from a platform beyond all worldly concepts. Either he's completely wrong or he's completely right. Either he's completely wrong and everything that's going on in the world is right, or he's completely right and everything that's going on in the world is wrong. So he decided, yes, I have to come here. So he came. he followed. Next time, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur came, they had a kirtan in the streets of Dhaka, and Subodh was in their group, which means he was publicly proclaimed, because he was a prominent figure in the city, showing everyone that, yes, I'm with them now. And then when Bhaktisiddhanta left, then Subodh left also. And he came to Mayapur, and they arranged for his initiation. And a telegram came saying that please don't initiate him, that you'll spoil his family life, he has family responsibilities. So immediately, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur arranged for his initiation and sent him off to a remote village preaching party. So then just after that, all his family and relatives arrived. He was gone. So, like this, he said that if we didn't do this, so many times the parents would come crying, "Oh, my son, give him back to us. He's not here. He's behind you under the bed." They say, "He's not here. You don't know where he is." So they'd send him. So he said, if we didn't do like this, there'd be no Gauriya Math. Sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't preach to people to surrender their lives to Krishna. But we should. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. There's lots more. Tomorrow I'll give you some time for questions also. So if you have any questions, please write them down.